Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Below the Radar News. We're here with Dwayne Robinson of the Interface Financial Group. Dwayne, how are you doing this morning?
Good morning. I'm fine, thank you.
So Dwayne, tell us, where are you, where is your franchise located?
I'm located in Clarksville, Maryland.
Clarksville, Maryland. Where's the nearest metropolis to you?
Well, we're about 30 miles south of Baltimore and about 30 miles north of Washington, D.C.
Yes. That's quite a packed place, but a lot of good football, I take it.
Oh, nice football, baseball. You've got D.C. And all the politicians. It's a tremendous area.
Are you originally from that area?
No, I'm actually originally from New York.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And you grew up in New York?
Yes, I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. Went to school at Long Island University out in Long Island, New York, and then moved to Maryland probably at 23 or 24 years old.
Oh, wow. And you've been there ever since?
That's correct.
Great. So tell us a little bit more about yourself. Are you married? Do you have kids?
Yes, I'm married. I have one beautiful daughter who's just turned 17 years old.
Oh my goodness.
I've been surviving that for a couple of months.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And good luck.
Thank you again.
And so you recently have started your IFG franchise, is that correct?
That's correct, and it was within the last year.
Within the last year. And how's it going so far?
Well, it's going pretty good. Again, it's very new. It's a fairly intensive training process, which is, I thought, worked out really well, but I am just completing that, which includes not only a kind of classroom or seminar training, but also field training, and then a series of coaching calls, and so I've been doing all of that, and it's been kind of fun.
Awesome, yeah, very busy time, I take it.
Well, yes, it is, but that's okay. I like busy.
Yeah, that's right. So speaking of liking busy and all that, we had a brief time to chat before, and you were telling me you have a very interesting background, and I wonder if you could tell folks, kind of explain your background in business and in life and kind of what's brought you to this time right now with IFG.
Well, sure. I'll be happy to talk about that a bit. So my educational background is in computer science and engineering, and I worked in that field for a number of years for a couple of employers, first the IBM, the federal government, a contracting firm called Booz Allen Hamilton, and then I decided to form a software company in 1996. And when I founded that software company, that kind of consumed all of my time as a startup business, and ran and operated that for about 13 and a half years. The company was acquired by SAS out of Cary, North Carolina, which a lot of people know is kind of really big on data and analytics software, and so it was a perfect match. And so we did that for a couple of years. And in June of 2012, I retired from that and did a few things, and then in the latter part of the year, early 2013, I decided to venture into the franchise, and that's how I became part of IFG.
I see. Very interesting. And what was the name of the company that you you sold to SAS?
It was called Vision Systems and Technology, or VSTI, as it's known around the government contracting community.
Huh. So you went from the high tech world to the small business world.
Well, Vision Systems and Tech was a small business. When I sold the company, we were doing about $15 million in revenue a year, but certainly a different business model. And when you build a company from scratch and you grow the company, it feels like a child. You know, it's hard to let go.
Yes. I bet.
But the other thing is that once you've been an entrepreneur for that long, it's very difficult to work in a model that's different than that. So it's really not that much of a transition to go from that world to a franchise, because you the ownership model works
sure.
well, but it is a completely different business. We're now in the finance business, financial services.
Yes. So take us through how, say, a defining moment that maybe made you realize, it's time to either sell off your business or time to get out of the business. Maybe, I'm not sure exactly what it is, but you can tell us, and made you decide to make a switch with your life and career.
Well, at the point that I decided to sell the business, it's a little bit odd. I really was not looking to sell the company. I was actually looking to acquire a smaller firm, and
oh, wow.
I was kind of out in the marketplace talking to brokers and that sort of thing. And just really by accident, there was an inquiry about an interest the other way, and so I decided to at least hear about what the interest was. And once I opened up that door, there were many, many suitors that presented some interesting ideas. And for me at the time, to be honest with you, it was the small business challenge of growing a small business is generally just filled with all kinds of obstacles. And in the defense business, many of those are beyond your control. And so that started to get a little bit difficult to deal with. You could be doing everything right and your people are doing everything they're supposed to do, and some new law goes into effect that has a dramatic impact on the business. But also it gets very frustrating because there's always a cash flow challenge, right? There's always a million ideas and things you'd like to do to grow the business to the next level, but you have to balance meeting your obligations and how much you want to invest in taking an opportunity at that growth strategy. And I got frustrated with that. And so the idea of having becoming part of a larger firm that would move a lot of that out of the way because of the sheer size and the resources
sure.
that were immediately available became appealing to me. SAS was not only a great cultural fit, but they were, a $2.3 billion company at the time with very deep pockets and very supportive of growth activities in the intelligence community. So that was a great fit. But interestingly enough, that's one of the reasons that I was interested in IFG, because I am passionate about small business, and I remember living the challenge of cash flow. And in the IFG model, that's essentially what the company is designed to do, is to help businesses grow by funding them through the cash flow process.
Right.
I think, a good idea.
So that sounds like a great marriage of different experiences and also the insight to the plight of the small business owner.
Oh, no question.
So there were
lots of synergies there. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No problem. No, sorry to interrupt. Specifically, so it sounds like IFG has been a great fit for you and something that you're very passionate about. What was it about, or maybe talk a little bit more about how you came about the IFG franchise and what opened your eyes to that whole market and franchise opportunity?
Well, I recall when I founded my company, Vision Systems in Tech, I had to create a business model. What was going to make us unique? What are the differentiators? And every business needs to do that. How do you define yourself differently than the hundreds and thousands of competitors, particularly in the global world nowadays? So that's a bit of a challenge. And many companies kind of evolve and mature that over time. And it's new work. And some are successful, and many, many are not. There's a huge entrepreneurial spirit in the United States, and so many, many companies form every day, but the majority of those companies fail within the first 2 years, and something like 50% in 5 years. And the reason is
right.
because, there's nothing different about them. And so that's a very hard process. So as I retired from having done that and started thinking about what I wanted to do next, it was not an exciting concept to me to try to dream up that next thing and create all of the pieces around that. It's just really, really hard. And so I started thinking, why not investigate a business that has already defined a unique business model that is working? And so that took me down the franchise path. And as I began to explore different franchises that align with my personal interests and acumen, I looked into fitness businesses, I looked into retail businesses, and then eventually I came across IFG. And it was really the unique business model that attracted me to IFG. But the notion of starting a business uniquely from scratch versus buying into a franchise opportunity where the business model was already established and proven, you know, IFG's been around for 40 years,
yep.
Made a lot of sense to me. And so ultimately, because it aligned with my interest to help small business, I understood how their business worked. I thought that I could do well at it. And so I thought I'd give it a shot. That's how I ultimately pulled the trigger in that decision.
That's great. Awesome. So would you say, how many other concepts or franchise businesses were you researching at any given time? Or maybe how many did you whittle it down to? And were there a handful of finalists, or was there just two, or was it not even, was it not even close?
Well, you know, it was like a funnel process. I worked with a consultant, a franchise consultant, who, after creating something of a profile on me and my interests and my background, presented probably 25 different types of franchise businesses. And from that, I reduced it down to about 10 that I had interest in. And then as I spoke to those franchise owners, I reduced that further. And ultimately, you know, ended up with the financial industry, and then there was probably two competitors to IFG. And as I spent some time with in-depth conversation and follow-up with the franchise itself, I reduced it down to IFG as a selection.
Sounds like a very logical process for a very logical person.
I can't help it. You know, my background.
Absolutely.
Everything's a list.
If you mentioned that the United States is a very entrepreneurial sphere, and you yourself are a shining example of that. What would you say, if anything, was or is a driving force behind your entrepreneurial spirit and your ability to take on risks and start new businesses and do those great American things?
That's a very good question. You know, the first time out the gate, it's very, very difficult. Most people get stopped by fear. You know, I lived that. It's the fear that if it doesn't work, I failed at something. So nobody likes to fail.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's sometimes a financial risk. You know, very often, you know, unless you're very, very fortunate, you don't have the financial wherewithal to simply invest in a business and support that at zero risk to your kind of basic household structure. And so those two areas generally stop people. In my case, because I was fortunate enough to be able to start the first business with very little capital and was successful at growing that, then it becomes easy. I mean, if you can remove those two things, you know, I don't have an issue with failing. You know, to me, the failure is to not try. So, but once you move the financial risk out of the way, it becomes a little bit easier. I'm not the level of entrepreneur that, you know, there are some, you know, I think of Branson, who's like that. Well, he could risk it all. You know, there are many people that will mortgage their home based on their belief and their dream and just go for it all. That's probably not me. I'm probably on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm probably in the 6 or 7 zone. So let me take care of the basics, and then I'll risk from there. But I'm not going to roll the dice and let it all hang out there. So there are some that I think would say that there's a great deal of risk in entrepreneurship, but it really depends on how you approach it. I kind of approach it in, I think, of a more balanced way. But the idea of working let's say in corporate America or working for a company, you know, I can do that to an extent. And I like, you know, I'm a team player. I like the team concept. But I also am a fairly creative and energetic person. And that, quite frankly, was the only hesitation around pursuing the franchise model. You know, some of the things that I like to do or dream up or envision, you know, I like to implement. And the franchise model, as you know, is the exact opposite of that. You know, you're kind of constrained to stay with what works. So that requires, you know, some discipline for people like me. And so I'll have to see how that goes in the long run. You know, maybe we'll have a call, you know, 2 years from now and find out. But but for me, the entrepreneurial compass is creativity. It's doing something new. It is flexibility. It is creating your own reality as opposed to being restricted to a box that someone has predefined.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's great.
I think that's what motivates a lot of people.
Absolutely. And something tells me you'll be doing just fine in a few years. Just a hunch.
We'll see.
So tell us what's going on right now in the IFG business. What are you? Do you have any prospects? Do you have any interesting leads? What's been your kind of daily life past the training and of late?
Well, the way the process begins is you have kind of an overarching roadmap of activities, and so I'm stepping down that list, again, kind of defined as here's what other successful IFG franchisees have done, and so they've packaged that into a roadmap. So I'm following that roadmap, and where I am on that roadmap at this point is really building a network of referrals, referral sources. And so these are people that that you build a business relationship with that is mutually beneficial, bankers, CPA firms, et cetera, that typically work with small businesses who may be in need of capital in one format or another that they may not be able to service. And the idea is that if those entities cannot service that small business, that they would refer me to service them. So I've been kind of connecting with the local banks and financial network, Chamber of Commerce, et cetera, all to get the name out there, let people become aware that I exist and what the capabilities are, so that eventually I can help some of these businesses that are out there trying to grow to the next level. So I've got a couple of, I've got a number of referral sources that I have met with that are promising, but I have not yet taken on the first client, so I'll have to see how that goes.
Okay.
I'm optimistic. Okay. That's what happens to.
Absolutely. And where is this? Where is this hot lead coming from? What type of source is it, and what do you think it'll turn into, or what do you hope it'll turn into?
Well, I'm hoping it turns into a transaction. It's coming from Capital One Bank. In the area where I'm working, and they have a business that they want to introduce me to that seems to, at least from what they've described, seems to have all the basic qualifications. You know, there's further due diligence that needs to happen before a transaction can occur. But the idea is that if I can qualify them and do the due diligence and they get through that process and they agree, then we can do the transaction. So that would be my first deal. So kind of excited about it.
Great. I'm sure it'll go swimmingly.
Oh, I hope you're right.
So are you working with Capital Bank, or is it just you got the referral from them and you kind of take it from there?
It's the latter. So I got the referral from them, and then I take it from there. But this is a business that is one of their customers, so it's important that it's handled well. And the idea is if the company continues to – if they leverage IFG to continue to grow, then the Capital One will see large deposits through their bank. That's how that works.
Right, right. So that's a good incentive for them as well.
Right.
If you don't mind me asking, what industry is the company that you're looking to help out in?
This is a IT company.
IT company. Oh, great. Great. Well, that's another point that I've understood about IFG is that being that you all can help small businesses, you're not just confined to one industry or another. It's really just about the dollars and cents and how you can help and instead of what and who you can help. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. The industry doesn't really matter. In fact, one of the things that is somewhat unique is that we also support construction. You know, many franchisees that are involved with this type of business do not do that. They refer to them as factoring companies, but many do not touch construction companies, but IFG does.
Oh, great. That's great. So we have a couple minutes left here. I want to take a little bit of time to talk about your future. Where do you think or where do you hope things will go? And like you said, maybe if we talk in a couple of years, how do you plan on things looking and being?
You know, I can probably talk about the next year or two, but I almost never plan beyond that because things are just highly dynamic. They change too quickly.
Oh, good.
I'm hoping. I'm sorry.
Obviously, I feel the same way. But there's always those, you know, generic questions. But that's great. Great to hear from someone with an entrepreneurial spirit such as yourself.
Yeah, I used to do, you know, 5-year strategic plans. You know, I'd get the executive team together. We go to an offsite for 2 days, and we come up with a, you know, a long term plan. What we're going to do first, prioritize action steps, etc. And then probably 2 months later, that plan was radically changed based on the environment.
Right.
So, I mean, imagine the person who was planning to start their real estate company in 2007, and they did a 5-year plan. In 2008, it was over. It changed. I mean, we can say that about so many different industries because you just can't see it coming. So I just learned to reduce that to 1 year, two at most, and then revisit every 30 days. So, right now, I'm looking at the next 90 days. What's critical for me is to build a solid network, follow up with the referral sources that I am connecting with, get trained up and effective and fluent with the transaction process of IFG so that I can make these deals happen very smoothly. And then ideally, I'll have maybe 10 or 12 clients by the end of the year. That's my goal.
That's the goal. All right. Well, I think you're ready.
Oh, I'm definitely ready.
Well, I think we're just about out of time. And do you have any parting words for us in our last 90 seconds here?
Oh, only that I think it's important that we encourage entrepreneurship in this country. It is truly the fuel that keeps this country going. I know people say that all the time, and as an entrepreneur, I've spent time with a lot of other entrepreneurs. The creativity, the innovation that comes from the community of small business is absolutely keeping this country ahead of all the rest. So we should fuel that. We should inspire that, particularly in our young people.
Well, that's great. We will try to spread that message for you.
Okay.
Well, Dwayne, thank you for your time this morning, and I hope you have a great rest of your day and great rest of your week. And look forward to maybe talking with you in a year or two and see how things are going.
Thank you very much, Brian. Have a good day.
Well, thanks for everybody. We're at Below the Radar News, and we've been talking with Dwayne Robinson of the Interface Financial Group. I'll talk to you soon, Dwayne.
Bye-bye.